I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, Grapple fans. It is the return of the Pro Wrestling Index podcast right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Yeah, it's episode 99. Stick a flake in us, we're cold as ice. How's about that one, Guy Drinkle?
yeah, it's good to be back, Andy. It's good to be back after our... It's not even a summer break, is it? It was more than the summer.
Well, initially it was kind of like a World Cup break because I think the last time we did a podcast, we said, look, we'd probably give it 2-3 weeks because the TV was so uninspirational, and it really was. It was a bit of a drudge. And then there's the World Cup, and I think maybe we all just needed a little bit of a break. And the way TV's gone,
you didn't help either.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of the way some of the TV's been going, some people just feel like having a permanent break from WWE completely. So we've had our break. We feel refreshed, and now we're ready. We're back, and we're ready to go. Before we get into it, though, a quick word on the really. Sad news this week. The passing of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Now, as someone a bit older, and I've been a wrestling fan since around about 89, 90 time, Jim Neidhart for me obviously was one half of the Hart Foundation with Bret the Hitman Hart. They were my favorite tag team. I love tag team wrestling mostly because of the Hart Foundation and Demolition. I love that era. And the Anvil was just iconic for me, an iconic figure. I was a huge Bret Hart fan just because he's about the best thing I've ever seen in the ring in terms of pure wrestling. But the Anvil was a part of that team. The Anvil was unique. He was different. The goatee, the laugh. And it's really, really sad news, you know, to be passing away at the age of 63. And obviously not just, you know, fans losing an iconic, an iconic figure, but also, you know, so many connections still within the industry, and obviously on the roster right now still his daughter Natalia Neidhart. So condolences and thoughts with everyone connected. It's sad news, and I guess, Guy, for yourself, Jim Neidhart was a bit before you really got into watching wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back, obviously the Hart Foundation's obviously a big part of probably the generation before mine, and I've only heard of the feuds between them, Demolition and the Road Warriors, was it? So they were proper pioneers of the tag team division. Bit before my time, but I mean, the legacy, long standing of them, of him as well personally. And obviously during the time we lost Brian Christopher Lawler as well, also known as Grandmaster Sexy, didn't we?
Yes,
during our hiatus, so I thought I'd bring him up as well, because he was probably a bigger part of my childhood, and it's a miss. Obviously, Jerry Lawler's tributes have been in there as well.
It's a tragic that, I mean, for a guy who's, you know, only a few years older than myself, it's quite frightening. The amount of wrestlers who've died in their 40s, it's quite scary.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a brutal business. I mean, people say it's fake and shit, and obviously it's obviously scripted, but it's probably the most taxing profession in the world. It has to be. I mean, you're pretty much being a stunt act for some people go 30, 40 years in this industry, and it's just mental.
Yeah, it certainly takes its toll on many, many people. Another one that we lost over the past couple of weeks as well, Nikolai Volkov. Again, probably before your time, a guy, but I do recall him, you know, as back in the, you know, the late 80s as that, that gimmick, you know, the Russian gimmick. Such a cliche thing, but then, you know, became the guy who embraced being in America and all that. And behind the scenes, though, known as one of the kindest, nicest, most genuine and gentle people that you could meet. So another sad passing. So yeah, it's the nature of the business. Unfortunately, there are some that go, you know, with a good age, but predominantly there's a lot of guys go prematurely. So thoughts, condolences with anyone connected with those we've lost. But well, back on to things this weekend, because it is a huge weekend of action, Guy. We've got NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and then we've got SummerSlam. So that's Saturday and Sunday, two massive shows. And we'll get into the card in a moment, but I've got to say straight off the bat, if NXT TakeOver does not significantly overshine SummerSlam, either A, TakeOver will have been very disappointing in my estimations, or B, SummerSlam will have massively over-delivered.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of putting it. I mean, just getting up the million match card for SummerSlam, 13 matches, and pretty much we just went half of it's crap. And we got up the NXT one and just went, yeah, that's going to be good. So yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you. It's a common theme nowadays, isn't it, that NXT's pretty much just overshadows everything that the main roster does. I mean, WrestleMania, pretty much the last, well, ever since TakeOver's been a thing before WrestleMania and SummerSlam, it's always overshadowed it. So I don't see anything changing whilst probably the best feud, one of the best feuds ever, is happening on NXT, really. So yeah, it's a losing battle for the main roster, this.
Yeah, it's certainly with NXT, it's always a case of quality over quantity. And that's the thing, you know, you've mentioned there, SummerSlam, 13 matches, including the pre-show, you know, 13 matches, that's a lot, you know, to, and it's the same with, obviously, with WrestleMania, the two biggest cards of the year, they like to get just about everybody on there. And sometimes it's just so much coming at you that you lose something. Whereas NXT, they keep it, the takeover shows, they keep them to 5 matches. And I think there's something to be learned from that. Perhaps, you know, condensing some of these main roster pay-per-view cards down a little bit and just focusing more on the quality and making them feel that little bit more special. A bit like they used to feel special, and they've lost that specialness. They're almost like just an extension of the TV program, whereas takeover shows do have a special feel to them. And you've mentioned there, you know, we're going to have Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano. But we've got other stuff in there. It's been built quite nicely over the weeks. I mean, first one up, the Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane. I don't expect this match to be anything significantly special because I think Shayna Baszler's still quite limited. But I think they've built this quite nicely. There's a nice little story going here, and I do think it will be an interesting match.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen too much of Kairi Sane. I mean, admittedly, I haven't watched their first match from the final of the Mae Young Classic. I really should go back and watch that. But no, I mean, I've not been too impressed with Shayna Baszler since she became champion. Obviously, from a storytelling point of view, I think she kind of worked as pretty much the bully. I mean, not Ryback type, but an absolute arsehole type. She seems to do that perfectly, and Kairi Sane is a pirate. No, I mean, I think I heard good stuff about the final in the Mae Young tournament, so hopefully there is something in it. But I think I said it on the last one we did. I think Shayna Baszler really needs a good match. I mean, I'm not expecting five-star matches and stuff like that, but I think you just need to hit heights of what it's tough to hit the heights of Asuka and before that when it was Bayley and Sasha and stuff like that. But if you just get a 3 or 4 star match, that'll do me. I'm not expecting 5 star plus. But I think you just need a good, competent match, because some of the Shayna Baszler matches have just been a bit silly and a bit stupid for me.
Yeah, she is quite limited. She is slowly developing and improving, but obviously so they've got to protect her and present her in a certain way. So they've been smart in the way that they're using her, more mm-hmm. of a storyline than anything else. So, yeah, I think it might be an interesting match, because Kairi Sane is a really good worker, and we'll see what becomes of that. Next one up on there, Velveteen Dream versus EC3. Now, Velveteen Dream, obviously, he's got that X factor about him. He really has got a special ingredient to him. He's going to be a major star, and he's already got the people really, really around him. EC3, he can talk. He looks good. You know, talking about himself in that top 1%. There must be like about 10 million wrestlers out there if he's in the top 1%, because I've got to say, personally, I've not been impressed with what I've seen in the ring from him.
Well, he's not made... The only time he's been on a takeover card was that ladder match, wasn't it? And he didn't really have an opportunity to shine in that. And he missed the last one, so that's probably a good way of highlighting it. He's not been in good enough form or storyline. Well, he's not had a moment to be on a takeover in a singles match, and it's probably disappointing for me, because he obviously came from TNA. I didn't watch it, but he was obviously Ethan Carter the Third, which was obviously the nephew of the owner or something like that, so he was obviously a big star on that for a time, and he seemed to make a few waves in the indies and stuff like that. So him coming to NXT seems to have just struggled to settle in and get that shine back. Maybe he's just, I'm not sure, he's probably not the best worker, but maybe let's see what he does with a good story. But unfortunately, I think this is probably one of the matches that's to calm the crowd down a bit, because you've obviously got the main event of Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano, which is going to be fire. And the tag team division's always mint on NXT, and Adam Cole versus Ricochet, I know we're going to go for it, I've kind of spoiled half the show, but anyway. But Adam Cole versus Ricochet.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Adam Cole versus Ricochet is obviously going to be fire, so I don't want to say the low point, but there's going to be something that's not going to be 5 star, isn't there? So these lads are going to have to put on their matches of their lives to hang with the rest of the card. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not expecting it to shine in what is a stacked card. But I really like Velveteen Dream, as you said. I fully agree. He has the potential to be one of a generational talent, and obviously being homemade from WWE, it's probably something they want as well, rather than having indie stars and stuff. So that's important to them. And I think EC3, character wise, I think he's good. But I haven't seen enough of him to comment on in ring stuff. So I'll be interested to see. But I'm not expecting him to steal the show.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say that because they keep the show down to around about the 2-hour mark, everyone kind of gets the opportunity to really sort of shine, you know, not quite in the format they do want, you know, with the main roster, where you do, like you say, you know, you do need these lulls, because people just need mental breaks. So it will be interesting to see how they perform. Adam Cole, Ricochet, you've mentioned it. That's going to be for the NXT North American Championship. I'm expecting nothing less than an absolutely sensational match between these two, because both these guys can go, and Ricochet is just spectacular. However this ends up, you know, I'm half expecting Adam Cole to retain the title. I just think this is going to be enormous fun, and even has the potential of stealing the show. And considering we've got Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano coming up, that could be quite something.
Yeah, I mean, you putting them in the same bracket, or potential same bracket as them two, speaks volumes of how good these two are. I mean, you've probably seen more of Ricochet than me, but Adam Cole is just absolute money. he is so good. he looks like he can do both face and heel. He's excellent in the ring. I mean, it's just a shame his matches have been overshadowed by Ciampa and Gargano. I mean, remember that match with Aleister Black? I think it was the No Holds Barred or whatever the hell name it was given. That was probably one of the matches, one of the best matches I've seen. It was overshadowed. So yeah, I think these two have the potential to match the main event, which just speaks volumes. I mean, Ricochet, who did he fight on the last takeover? Was it Velveteen?
It was Velveteen, yes.
Yeah, that was good as well. So Ricochet's had a good promising start on his takeover, and this match has got the potential to rocket them to the next level. And I think this is the first televised defense of takeover defense of the North American Championship. So that'll be quite interesting, because Cole obviously was injured or whatever for the last one. So it'll be quite interesting to see how it goes, but both of these are just obviously elite workers. And I think Adam Cole will keep it, because, as I said, he's not really had too long with it and not had too much to do with it. And I quite like this. Obviously, we'll get to the tag team. I quite like the UK versus US thing going on at the minute. So I think there's something more to come out of that from the singles point of view as well.
Yeah, that's it. Adam Cole's been described as the coolest guy in wrestling, and yeah, there's definitely something there. So it's I'm leaning into what you're saying there. You know, I think he'll retain, and I think that's as much as anything, just to set up if Ricochet is going to win it, we're going to have a bit of a chase going on. It's always good for the babyface to chase the heel. So yeah, like you mentioned there, the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong defending the tag team titles against Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. Again, this could be a cracking match. I mean, they've already had a couple of really, really good matches. All the guys can work in here. Tyler Bate is a special talent. He just needs to obviously develop the charisma side of it and the talking side of it. But, you know, working wise, the guy's a phenomenon for his age. He is an incredible worker for his age. Kind of going on in the background to this, we've got the War Raiders as well. So I was half expecting to see a triple threat tag team title match. So I kind of half expecting them to get involved in some way. And maybe that's how we'll get the outcome, but some kind of involvement with War Machine. So this is the thing, you know, the tag team division is constantly being sort of reinvented and reinvigorated and made to feel interesting. And it's a bit more, there's more effort put into it than the main roster, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's an important point you brought up there at the end. There's absolutely just complete difference to the main roster tag team division than this. This is always fresh, it's new. I mean, you talked about the War Raiders there, or War Machine. I mean, War Raiders sounds a bit stupid, doesn't it?
I forgot what I was calling them. they were War Machine, now they're called War Raiders, is it? Something like that. I forget.
Yeah. It's always fresh and stuff. I mean, we'll obviously get to the SummerSlam card, but I mean, on SmackDown, we're seeing the Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day, whilst kind of crapping on all of the new tag teams on the SmackDown division. It's like, that's cool, that's new. I've not seen that for the last few pay-per-views. It's just, I know there's obviously gaps between takeovers compared to pay-per-views, but the tag team division's always a highlight, and that's why the tag team division on NXT pretty much gets its own takeover with War Games, doesn't it? That pretty much just speaks volumes of how good the tag team division is. And Undisputed Era, obviously they've had their injury problems and freshened it up with Roderick Strong whilst Bobby Fish is out. And it's just worked brilliantly. That stable's done brilliantly. And Mustache Mountain, it's always good to see the British lads doing, because I thought when they announced that there's going to be UK shows and stuff, I thought it'd be pretty much a sideshow, and I thought like the UK Championship would just be pretty much something that you bring up every 6 months or so. But no, I think it's been really brilliant, and you see Mustache Mountain, Pete Dunne, and everyone else that they are becoming stars on NXT, and you could really see them being something. But I think Undisputed Era needs to keep the titles, because as a stable, I think it's just brilliant, and I'd like to see them push on as a group. The War Raiders thing's quite interesting because they're just massive, horrible bastards, aren't they?
Well, you would imagine that. Yeah, you would imagine that's what's next to come, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That this is really, you know, we're working towards Undisputed Era and War Raiders. That's what we're most likely looking towards. And
you get the technical wrestling of them versus the absolute monstrosity. I think it's obviously a similar dynamic to what AOP versus the Revival, isn't it? So that'll be quite interesting. I mean, they put on absolute clinics back in the day, and DIY and stuff. So if it gets back to that level, I mean, yeah, that happy days. But I haven't seen much of War Raiders, but it'll be quite interesting to see how they're involved. I'd hope they won't piss about in the match too much, but maybe if it just sets up the feud for the next one after the match, it'll work quite well.
Yeah, there's actually a nice video package was on, I think it was last week's NXT, maybe in the week before, kind of introducing you to them a little bit more, giving you more of their background, how they came together and some of the work that they've done. And I thought that was a good little thing just to give you a bit more insight. Obviously, hardcore wrestling fans already knew all about them, as is the way with NXT. They like to bring in, you know, established indie stars. So I think it was quite smart, and I do think it's the slow build towards really putting a rocket underneath those guys. So that just leaves NXT Championship, which is now Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. Now, obviously, it was only a few weeks ago that Tommaso Ciampa beats Aleister Black for the title, just on NXT TV, not a non-takeover match. Surprised that they do it, that they switch the title in such a way, but I guess they did it before with Samoa Joe, so it's one of them things where they occasionally like to throw a little surprise in, so it's not too predictable. But we initially had Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Aleister Black as a triple threat. An injury to Aleister Black means he's no longer part of this match. Now, personally, Guy, I actually thought that what we were seeing here was a transition, and this was going to be, you know, Aleister Black's sort of farewell match, and we'd probably see him move on to the main roster and get totally misused and end up wrestling, Ty Dillinger in the mid-card somehow.
Next tag team match.
He will get moved up, and he'll get misused, and they'll all... the effort and the shine and the what's been built into making him such a special talent and look so special and be presented in such a really clever way on NXT will be totally destroyed within about 3 months of being on either Raw or SmackDown because they're certainly bloody good at that. But anyway, right. First thing, do you think then Aleister Black is going to make that move, or do you think we might have to wait a few months for that? And what about this then? Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano is finally for the NXT title.
Let's start with Aleister Black then. I think it depends how big his injury is, I suppose. I've not seen how long he's rumoured to be out for, but obviously they did that sneak attack angle, I think, on NXT. So maybe if it's only a short-term injury, but they needed something for the takeover match, maybe they're just setting up to put over someone new or something like that. Obviously they've left it so open, anything can happen, so maybe he has Sami Zayn-ish where he kind of has one more match to put someone over and then off he goes or something like that. But if he's back before WrestleMania or well in advance of WrestleMania, I'm not sure how long it's meant to be, but I imagine Aleister Black is probably on the goodbye tour now. I mean, people don't go from losing the NXT title to stay on NXT, though, let's be honest. I mean, I think the only ones who've won it multiple times was like Joe, Finn, and Nakamura, or something like that. So yeah, I think his future's on the main card, unfortunately for him. but in terms of the main event, yeah. I think, unfortunately, it did need that third wheel. I quite liked the dynamic of a triple threat, and I thought it was quite nicely built with how Tommaso Ciampa won the championship. I think the triple threat would have added something else to the feud, and have another dance partner, it's always good, especially someone who's as good as Aleister Black. But no, I mean, they pretty much just going through every brutal type of match in the WWE playbook. Last Man Standing, it's going to be brilliant. I think just the only worry for me is that having these two main event so many takeovers in a row, I'm not saying it's going to get stale, but maybe it just needed that added ingredient to refreshen the feud. But no, Last Man Standing match, it's going to be brutal in the good sense of the word. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, I saw this on Twitter, but this match would be perfect for Hell in a Cell. I'm not sure if NXT could fit a Hell in a Cell, but maybe that's the way to go when they eventually get on the main card. But yeah, these two lads, they're gonna be awesome again. And I am disappointed Aleister Black's not there, but at the same time, I know this is going to be an 8-star match, so happy days.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think that added ingredient of the third man would have freshened it up and made it a bit different. And it's going to be so hard for them to match some of the, you know, to match the heights that they've already had with some of those matches in the last couple of takeovers. I mean, I think Tommaso Ciampa will keep it. I think.
Do you think he'll move on to someone new afterwards?
Yeah. Well, what I think is, it's just a theory, obviously, but I think Johnny Gargano becoming champion will be the culmination of, the underdog story. And I think it was so close to happening with Andrade Cien Almas that it was almost set that it couldn't quite happen. So it was all, to the point where the crowd are begging. It's almost like a Daniel Bryan story again. They're begging for it to happen to the point where eventually it does. And when it does, it feels like such a culmination that it's a really special moment rather than, yeah, he's just done it. So I would imagine, personally, I think Tommaso Ciampa will keep it. And if Johnny Gargano is to become champion, I think they'll hold back to possibly the takeover at something like Mania. They'll really sort of hold it back, because you got to think it's Triple H behind the scenes controlling things here. You know, it's a guy with the old school wrestling mentality of the storylines and everything else. He's really smart. And the way NXT is being presented over the past few years, the vast majority of it has been absolutely on point. So personally, that's just what I think might well happen.
No, I agree. I think it'd be the clever move to keep Tommaso Ciampa as champion, because if Johnny Gargano won, it'd obviously be a rematch, and having that main event 4 takeovers in a row is probably a bit too much. Obviously, the plan for this one was a triple threat to kind of add a refreshener to freshen up the feud, and I don't think you could really set that up now. I think the way they did it with Aleister Black was perfect. They can't really do that now, so I think Ciampa should keep it, and then I'm not sure who he could face. I mean, that's probably for another show, isn't it, who he could face? But there'll be a face in the company he could fight pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll set something up along the way, because they are very smart. And look, like you've mentioned, it will be fantastic. We know this match will deliver. Whether it be quite as good as their previous encounters, who knows? That would be very, very difficult. But we know it'll be brilliant. And
hopefully Mauro's back for this on commentary. We missed him.
Yes. Yeah. He's been back on TV, so hopefully will be. Fully
Although
expect
there is,
this.
There is boxing on again, which I think he was at last time. So hopefully he's not doing that crap again.
Yeah. Let's hope so, because he'd certainly add something to it. I totally expect, brilliant match. Think it'll be an excellent event. And like we said, if it doesn't outshine SummerSlam, either something's gone wrong or SummerSlam has majorly, majorly over-delivered.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Speaking of SummerSlam, let's do it then, Guy. Let's get on to it. We won't sort of shake down every match because there's just too many.
Get the crap ones out of the way.
Yeah. it feels awful saying that, but your pre-show, where are we? The Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak. Look, I fully expect it to be a good match. Two good workers. Cedric Alexander, for me, is an excellent worker, and he could be something a little bit special, but 205, I have not watched this since before WrestleMania, and I've had no inclination to do so. So it's a shame. It is a shame.
I know it's weird, isn't it? I mean, maybe there's just too much TV on, isn't there? Maybe when SmackDown goes to Friday, it'll help a bit.
Maybe, I don't know. I think I've always said this, and I stick by it. I think the Cruiserweight division show, whatever, needs to be at Full Sail alongside NXT.
If they combine them two to make it an hour and a half show or something like that,
But for me, just filming at the same place because smaller venue, tighter crowd, more hardcore crowd, I think you just get a more interesting product because the crowd will be more bought into the Cruiserweights because, you know, don't make it about a mini version of the Raw and SmackDown type product that we're seeing on TV, then more of an NXT type product. And for me, I think it'll garner more interest, and people will watch it more. But that's my theory anyway.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good match though. I think I've not really watched it, but I know both are obviously excellent workers because everyone on 205 Live is. Let's be honest. I think Drew Gulak may win, but that's not from me watching any of 205 Live. I think that's because of all the stuff that came out with Cedric Alexander's Twitter account. Which was dug up. So normally when stuff like that happens, people tend to lose their titles. So maybe Drew Gulak's the one to go. Obviously, Drew Gulak was getting popular before the rejig, wasn't he? So maybe Drew Gulak gets to run with the title. I mean, they haven't really had a heel champion for a while now, I think.
Since before Mania and all that sort. So let's not go back. It could be interesting. Right, Rusev and Lana versus Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. I hate mixed tag matches. They're usually pretty brutal. The fact that Lana is brutal in the ring and Zelina Vega, I think she's fairly capable, but I haven't seen too much. Obviously, we know Rusev and Andrade Cien Almas can go, but I don't expect this to be anything more than popcorn, terrible storyline show match. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a shame. It is a shame.
It's just all wrong, isn't it? I mean, if this was Rusev versus Almas, I think that'd be good. Obviously, they've done it on TV a bit, but
it's too comedy.
Too much
comedy now.
Yeah, it's not great. They've ruined Rusev from being probably the most popular person. That's annoying. And Almas is obviously a brilliant heel, and they've kind of brought him up to SmackDown. Didn't use him for ages, and now he's Stone Cold.
Not good, Stone Cold. No. They brought him up and forgot that they brought him up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Same with Sanity, who aren't actually on the card either.
Yeah, exactly. This is my fear when it comes to talent moving on from NXT to the main roster. They just don't use them effectively. Talking of comedy as well, we've got the B team, both Dallas and Curtis Axel, defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the Revival. I hate the way that Revival have been cast aside and almost forgotten about.
It's got better recently, though.
Yeah, I just...
But this is either the nail in the coffin or the start of something awesome.
Well, let's hope it's the start of something.
I think it'll be the nail in the coffin.
Well, yeah, I'm inclined to agree because they love a bit of comedy and I hate doing comedy with prestigious titles. And for me, as I said at the start of the show, look, I'm a long-term tag team wrestling fan. I like it. I like the way that NXT makes it seem special and significant. Here, it's a comedy routine and I hate that the tag titles are a prop for a comedy routine team. Anyway, right. Speaking of terrible comedy on the main card, Finn Balor, Baron Corbin, total waste of Finn Balor. Baron Corbin.
I like his new character, but he should not be in a match.
He's not a particularly good worker. To be fair,
the match at. What was the last pay-per-view? Extreme Rules?
God knows.
Whatever it was. Their match was actually quite good. But we've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it a million times.
The feud hasn't progressed at all.
No, I don't care.
It's just stupid. I think this is actually the pee break of the main card.
Yeah, they're just doing terrible things with Finn Balor. You know,
I think it'll be a good match, but yeah, it's a waste of Finn Balor. And Baron Corbin, I like his new character, but he shouldn't be on SummerSlam.
No. He should be forced to come out in an old-fashioned English policeman's uniform with a hat picked all back for calling him constable.
Might as well, he's fighting in a bloody suit, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Jesus,
it's just dreadful. We've got Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Obviously, this is a weird one because obviously we know Daniel Bryan is just insanely brilliant. The Miz is a good talker. I'm not such a big fan of him in the ring. This is a match that was built, you know, slowly over time. The foundations for this were put in place a long time ago. It should be bigger than it is, but I almost feel like it's kind of got lost because there's so much happening.
I think one of the things is it's obviously on SummerSlam and there's no title involved. Like, some people have said this feud didn't need a title, and I could see why people would say that on a smaller pay-per-view, but this is a pay-per-view where you've got Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the millionth time, which is going to be crap, but we'll get to that. You've got AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, which is a dream match. You've got Ronda Rousey probably winning the title in a dream match, and Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins has been on fire. This probably should be main event worthy, whether it had the mid-card title involved or the main title involved on the show. This could have been built into something much bigger than it was. I'm not saying it should have main evented WrestleMania or something like that, but obviously Daniel Bryan's probably going to get the main title back at some point because he's too popular not to. And I think them two for the WWE title, I know you don't like The Miz, but it's a feud that's built for 8 years or whatever they said on SmackDown.
Yeah, in reality, it's been built for about a year and a half, let's be honest.
Yeah, since that talking smack thing. Yeah, to be honest, but it's been well built since that moment, and it's been well teased, and ever since he came back, we knew it was going to happen. But I would have liked it for the main title, whether it was not Survivor Series because they obviously fight each other on different shows. But if it was one of the bigger, smaller pay per views, if you get what I mean, whether Hell in a Cell, maybe it probably could do that. I think
Survivor Series is a good shout, actually, you know, because you have
they normally fight like yeah, but they do, but then WWE, don't they?
Yeah, they can have all that, but then they could have this as a marquee match. And I've got to say, look, I'm one of them people who said I don't think this match does need a title. I think the first time they face each other like this, there's enough build in there that it doesn't need the title as well. I think maybe in terms of a follow up, you know, they have this match, they go one of them gets a title, and then they come back and it's again, you know, they're fighting each other, then it's for a title. You know what I mean? So the first time...
There's parallels to Gargano and Ciampa, isn't there? Obviously not as personal, not as well built, but there is kind of parallels as maybe this is the starting point, and obviously now they've got the NXT title involved. Maybe... I'd guess Brian would win. Maybe he goes on to fight Joe eventually, and then it can kind of build from there if he beats Joe or something like that.
That's a possibility, yeah.
For example.
It's a possibility. Or another one is you know, you mentioned a mid sort of card title. Yeah. You know, what about the United States Championships? I mean, we've got Shinsuke's defending the title against Jeff Hardy, but and it almost feels like a nothing match in a way because Jeff Hardy is embroiled in a feud with Randy Orton, who's doing some things that turn my stomach, pulling his ear and stuff, which makes me feel ill. It's quite brutal. It's effective television. It is effective. So you've got Randy Orton in the background that makes you think that this is not going to last long and Orton's going to be involved. And, Shinsuke keeps the title. So maybe it's Daniel Bryan versus Shinsuke. You know, a dream match for us all. You know, we can see that happen. Sure. And then we've got The Miz and Daniel Bryan fighting over a title. So it's, you know, and you know,
it's
Daniel
like the
Bryan.
Miz versus Ziggler on steroids, isn't it?
Well, I'd say with this for The Miz, you know, in terms, I don't think he's a main eventer, but in terms of the mid-card title, I think he does help elevate it and he helps, you know, he really does lay on for that, and he helps that title because he makes it that title feel special. Whereas I think at the main event level, you don't need to do that. The title is already special, so it's. I think there's definitely value in that in the future. So, I mean, do you expect Nakamura to just to retain in probably 5 minutes or whatever with Jeff Hardy then?
I think so because I think the way that. Well, I'm surprised it's just not a triple threat match, firstly. I think that's probably the best way to start it. It's been a weird one because obviously Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton looks like the natural way, but is that worth the US title? Probably not. I think it's been good enough on its own, to be honest. And obviously the stuff about Randy Orton getting investigated into, maybe they're going to put a cooler on that. He wasn't on TV much this week. He was just kind of stood there doing that. So I think Chin will win. And I think he it's pretty safe what you can do with Nakamura. You can either, if Orton gets suspended or whatever, you can obviously continue with Jeff if needs be. Or as you say, he can move on to any face on SmackDown pretty comfortably. And I think Daniel Bryan's a good show. So
yeah,
I think Chin will win.
Yeah, I think it helps the United States Championship. Probably helps Shinsuke as well, fighting someone like Daniel Bryan. Them two could have incredible chemistry. I think Daniel Bryan would be prepared to do some unreal things, and it just helps everything along the way. So, Women's Championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship, Carmella defending against Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. I'm not particularly interested in this match, I've got to say. I've really not liked Carmella as champion. She's so limited. The way that they sort of used Asuka.
Imagine if
this
was Asuka versus Becky Lynch versus
Jesus.
Charlotte Flair.
Exactly. And that's really my thing is we would have a completely different dynamic because then we'd have a kick-ass match rather than we've got two workers. And a screamer who talks and does very little else.
They worded it perfectly on SmackDown. I don't know if you've seen it, Andy, but they said...
I fast-forward through most of it.
Yeah, they basically said Becky and Charlotte, they're the two women's wrestlers, and I think Charlotte called Carmella a diva. She's one of the, she's part of the old generation, and it's perfect way of doing it.
Yeah, throwback.
She is just an old school diva where the matches are shit, and she shouldn't really be there. To be honest, there was potential at one point, but it's just been too long now. I mean, there is obviously still potential, but she shouldn't have the title, and she's been put over by the two best workers in the business. And, well, that seems to have caused some issue with Asuka, if rumoured to believe, which is obviously great. Well,
apparently, there's no truth in the rumours, though, that Asuka's not. No. Thankfully, she's not looking to leave or anything like that. What about Becky Lynch turning heel? Do you think that's a possibility from this, then?
I think
that's what we get out of this. Sorry, that's what we maybe get out of this, is Becky Lynch, Charlotte.
Yeah, I think, that's hopefully the way you go. Hopefully. I think Becky is probably due a title run. Obviously, she was the first women's one. Hopefully, she turns. Maybe not turns at SummerSlam, but maybe eventually turns, because you have to get the rematch with Carmella out of the way. So maybe she wins without turning here, beat Carmella on SmackDown 1 week, and then you can kind of turn then. But I think one of them's got to turn, and obviously, thinking long term, Charlotte's probably gonna fight Ronda at some point, and I think Ronda's too popular to be a heel, so maybe Charlotte's the one to turn long term. Maybe Becky, because she's been a face for so long, so maybe Becky turns this time. But I think one of them's got to turn. But I think it won't be Sunday, but it might be a couple of weeks down the line.
Decent shout. SmackDown tag team titles then. We'd already mentioned it. Bludgeon Brothers versus The New Day. Yeah, not particularly interested. Seen it before.
I think
SmackDown tag team division, the title needed freshening up. We needed to see a match that we haven't seen. Uh-huh. So if we'd have had the Bar or Sanity in this match with them, it's something different.
That's I feel like we've been here before. Issue. Yeah, that's my issue with it. I mean, you could have had the Bludgeon Brothers. Obviously, their tag team title run hasn't gone great, because they've only faced two tag teams, and they did. That's how they won the title. They faced them two tag teams, and then all they've done is fought them two tag teams. It's stupid. I really want to see Bludgeon Brothers versus Sanity. Sanity were obviously a face in NXT. And they could have came up and fought the Bludgeon Brothers like that, and it would have been pretty beautifully destructive. But at the same time, the Bar, they're not going to get outpowered by anyone. I mean, you've got these two build monsters. Sheamus is obviously a machine, and Cesaro's build is the strongest pound-for-pound bloke in the company, so that could have been interesting. But wasn't the final the use? No, it was the Bar versus the New Day, wasn't it? So
yeah.
I'm just surprised it wasn't the Usos versus New Day for the bloody final, which would have been terrible. But no, it really needed new blood, and unless they're going to put it on New Day or split the New Day, whatever, the New Day needs freshening up. The tag team titles need freshening up. I'm not saying take it off the Bludgeon Brothers, but the matches have been dead since WrestleMania, and the Bludgeon Brothers are suffering for it, because now they're making them do squash matches again, which is not good. It's restarting the process. After this, whoever wins, it needs to be the Bar or the Sanity for it to be freshened up.
I would agree. Braun Strowman defending the Money in the Bank against Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens has been utilised terribly for probably well over a year now, unfortunately. The best talker in the company. For my money, he is the best talker in the company. Him alongside Samoa Joe can be the best heel in the company.
Yeah.
And he's just not been used too well. But I've got a funny feeling here that he's going to win this match. He's going to get the Money in the Bank. And then we're going to have Kevin Owens as Universal Champion before the end of the year.
I was thinking before the end of the night, Andy.
Hey, stranger things have happened. Things have happened.
I think we said it at the time, Braun Strowman doesn't suit being Money in the Bank holder.
No, he doesn't need it. That's the thing. You know, for me, it was an odd choice to put it on him. I know the whole thing, Monster in the Bank. Oh, that sounds like a fun, a little catchphrase. That's good. For me, what he's about, the way he's presented, he doesn't need a contract. He doesn't need that, because he should be in the reckoning anyway. It's better placed on a heel, a sneaky heel who can use it. And you, as a viewer, you're wondering every week, are they going to cash in? Are they going to cash in? Whenever you see the champion in jeopardy, and well, I guess that's the thing on Raw, you very rarely actually see the champion, and you certainly don't ever see him in jeopardy. But, you know, as things would normally be, if you see that champion in jeopardy, you wonder, are they going to get cashed in? And that sets that up. It's interest. It's something. It's a bit of intrigue, and Raw desperately misses that.
Yeah, and it's a weird one. I think either way, whoever wins this match is going to be champion by the end of the night. I think that's the way I'm going to do it. But if Braun Strowman cashes in on Lesnar, that makes sense. But if Braun Strowman cashes in on Roman Reigns, I don't get what the idea is. Because Strowman's probably more popular than Roman Reigns in all sectors of the fans. I think Reigns is obviously quite liked by the kids and stuff like that, but in terms of all of them, like hardcore fans, Strowman's quite popular. So if he cashes on Roman Reigns, it's going to be really confusing for the both of them. So you won't know who's the face and who's the heel. So I think Strowman's either going to cash in on Lesnar or Kevin Owens is going to cash in on Roman Reigns. I think that's the way I'm going to do it. So it kind of depends who wins each match.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, and you know what? It's you could see either things happening, and that's for me for this match. I don't expect the match itself to be fantastic because there'll be a lot of smoke and mirrors involved, and it's more about the outcome. And then once we get the outcome, then we start thinking, okay, now I'm that little bit more interested in the actual Universal Championship match. And
yeah.
I mean, well. Should leave it to the end, but no, let's do it. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns then. So you think dependent on the outcome of Strowman, Kevin Owens will depend on the outcome on this one? Do you think we're seeing the title change?
I'll put it this way. I think Roman Reigns will win, but I don't want him to. I desperately want the title being weekly and stuff like that, but I don't think Roman Reigns deserves to be the one who beats Brock Lesnar. We've seen all these people have good matches with Brock Lesnar, and I know that it tends to be smaller guys apart from Samoa Joe, but Roman Reigns has had so many opportunities with Brock Lesnar, and all the matches have been pretty shit. Let's be fair. Mm. Most of them have been high-profile crap matches, apart from the Seth Rollins cash-in, and that was about Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I don't think he deserves the moment, and I know it's going to get jammed down our throats, and Roman Reigns is going to have the big moment, and I hope for that, then Kevin Owens cashes in. So I kind of hope Roman wins so Kevin Owens can cash in, but I think someone like Strowman deserves the opportunity to be the one who eventually beats Brock, so I'm going to say Brock will win, and then Strowman will cash in.
Hmm. It's certainly plausible, and I think however it goes, don't expect too much from this match.
No.
And I think the important thing has got to be at the end of this night, we've got to see the end of Brock Lesnar as champion. It's, you know, over 500 days, it's become predictable, and it has come to the,
two
the thing is, at first, it makes him special. He's a special performer, and, you know, seeing him and seeing the title, you don't see it every week, and that works for a short period of time. And then it becomes, hang on a minute, you know, where is the champion? Where is the title? Yeah. And it's gone past, I think it's gone way past that point, to the point, and it is now, we need to see the champion on TV much more. So Lesnar, obviously, we're expecting him to go back to UFC once again, one final run there. So, yeah, it's got the title's got to change hands. However, whatever permutation it is, it just needs to change hands.
That's the most important thing. I think
whether
Brock Lesnar wins this match or not, he can't leave the building as the champion. Jinder Mahal came out with the Money in the Bank somehow.
No. Let's not get carried away.
Far.
Yeah, too far.
Too far.
Well, Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey. I'm not overly struck on this. I'm a bit sort of torn with Ronda Rousey. I think that they've used her well at times and other times not so well. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just feel a bit. Initially, she was. You were made to think she was very, very special, but then using her in just normal segments and chatting and the, you know, all the crappy backstage stuff and whatnot, it's just almost like she's just another one of the roster. And I don't know, again, I mentioned smoke and mirrors. I think there's going to have to be a lot of smoke and mirrors in this one in order for Alexa to still be in a match if they're going to take it sort of 10 minutes plus. But they should really, you know, it should really change the title here, but I wonder if they will. I do wonder whether it's, we're not going to see a title change and we're going to see some kind of schmoz finish.
Yeah, it's kind of one of them ones where it's so obvious you kind of doubt yourself, don't you? It's like, well, they've built it up the moment she walked into the door that she's going to be the champion and eventually have a big match at WrestleMania. But is it that obvious? I mean, we fought that with Nia Jax, didn't we? But I do think it's that obvious for a reason. I think Ronda Rousey will win. But I think the only thing you can say about Ronda Rousey, we've all doubted her for a debut and the second match. But she's always been the surprise of the night, hasn't she? She always has been excellent. I mean, she was probably one of the highlights of WrestleMania, probably say of that. And was probably one of the better ones against Nia Jax. I can't remember which pay-per-view that was. But you are right, the TV delivery, I think they're struggling to get a balance with it, because she's obviously a special attraction like Brock, but you don't want a Brock situation where she's there every two years. but I think they did well with that suspension angle where she was gone for a month. I think that kind of helped figure it out, but yeah, it's difficult to balance her being a special attraction and part of her being the normal part of the normal roster. But I think there's two things to pull out there. It's good that she's willing to be a normal part of the roster, and she's working. And
that's
she
a fair
working,
point.
And she's working Raw. So if she becomes a champion, I think if she gets the title, it'll be easier to make her that character.
I've got to say, her work, it's so quick. It is lightning. The way she puts the moves on and the punches and everything that she throws, it's so quick, it's so believable.
Yeah.
You know, it is fantastic. The execution, it is just magnificent. It really is.
Yeah.
For me, I think all you need to do, as it might sound a bit cliched, but stick Paul Heyman with her. And you've got someone to talk for her. She is then a special attraction, but she can still be there every week and still made to be special. And she doesn't have to talk and feel like just another member of the roster when you've got Paul Heyman there doing the talking. And how cool will that be, you know? Paul Heyman being the advocate for a women's champion, you know?
It makes the women's division feel a bit more special, because although Paul Heyman's just a talker and a manager or advocate, whatever you call it, he's been in the main event picture probably longer than any of the actual wrestlers.
Yeah, it's just that delivery, you know, he'll sell tickets. So I know it's an obvious one, but anyway. Right, last couple of matches, Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins and the returning Dean Ambrose, all for the Intercontinental Championship. This is a feud that's been on fire. This is the best for me that Dolph Ziggler's looked in years. Drew McIntyre's really helped. Some of it is even last couple of his promos have been really, really good, and I'd lost interest in listening to him talk. Seth Rollins has just been on fire, no pun intended, for so long now. He is well and truly back to that elite level, you know, one of the best in the world. And Dean Ambrose back with a bit of a dodgy haircut. Looks like he's bulked up a bit.
This could be
something. This could be the show stealer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of match quality, this is probably going to be the best one. My only concern with this, it's been a bit obvious that Dean Ambrose is coming back as soon as this feud started and was more than one pay-per-view. it's been a bit obvious that they needed Ambrose to come back. My only question mark is what's the long-term plan with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose? I mean, you don't want him back in the tag team division, do you? Seth Rollins has been carrying Raw on his own for so long.
Mm.
He can't do that from the tag team division. So is Dean going to turn on Seth? Are they just going to do the thing and go the separate ways after the match? Kind of what they're doing with Reigns and these two. So there's question marks about that, but I think this will be the match of the night. I think Dolph will win somehow, because I think they will do that Dean Ambrose heel turn, because I know he's only just come back, but let's not remember how stale he was before he left.
Yeah, and that's it. And yeah, your return is a big pop, but it doesn't take long to return to that sort of feeling of staleness after the shine has sort of gone after a few weeks. So
it's so easy to do as well. We just say, yeah. Oh, you left me. You forgot about me with all that Jason Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
Crap.
Yeah. But it's just easy as to, I think you, as you mentioned, you know, Dolph Ziggler win. It doesn't have to be an obvious thing, just a little miscommunication, you know, and they're just sowing the seeds, and it could be a slow thing built over the next couple of months. And we eventually get it, and that makes it interesting. And and yeah, that's so. What about it being this being, you know, the very beginnings of Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania? Do you think they could stretch it that long?
Possibly, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe we get the fabled triple threat match of the Shield. I think we got that on the original split of the rosters, didn't we? But it didn't get the stage it deserved. So maybe that's the seeds of that coming back. Because I think that is Vince's wet dream, isn't it? Having that being a triple threat for whatever title. Yeah, I think it could stretch to that, whether it does eventually become the triple threat or not. God knows, but it's such an easy feud to put together. And the first time around, it was good, wasn't it? It ended in Hell in a Cell, where they both went through the announce tables, if I remember correctly.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it did. But the most important thing for me is seeing a heel Dean Ambrose, because that's what he is. He's a crazy son of a bitch. And he suits being a heel. And, with his new murderer haircut, I think it'll suit him even more.
What haircut would you like? Could you make me look like a murderer, please?
Yeah. You ever seen Crime Watch? I think Dean Ambrose, whether it's Sunday night or whether it's a slow burn, as you said, I think they need to see what he can do as a heel. But unless there's merch reasons to keep him as a face, but Seth Rollins can't go back to being a heel just yet, because they finally made the face thing work, and they can't go back to a tag team, and obviously they're both in the mid-card at the minute. I think they'll clash with each other eventually.
Mm. So that just leaves the WWE Championship,
the AJ real main
Styles.
Event.
Yes, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. Now, I've seen these two have matches years ago. I mean, like a decade ago or more in TNA. I saw them fight over the X Division Championship. Obviously, both guys were in their 20s at the time. They're still phenomenal workers, no pun intended. Joe is a tremendous heel. He's a tremendous talker as a heel. This, if they let these guys just have the kind of matches that they can have, this could be something really, really special. I would love to see Joe get the title, because I think it would be good for AJ having the switch at this point, and I think it would be good for the title itself to make the move, and for Joe, I think for everyone concerned, it would be a good time to switch, but I don't think they will, Guy.
Oh, they need to. They can't be hoping that AJ Styles is going to put CM Punk out of the history books, can they? That's the only reason I think they could justify him staying as champion, but he's killed so much of the roster, AJ Styles. Not from him, but he's fought everyone. I mean, he's doomed Nakamura to mid-card obscurity. He can't do that to Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's too good.
In terms of a record books and whatnot, there are previous champions with much longer stints than CM Punk. So if WWE don't want to acknowledge, longer stints and whatnot, they can easily turn back to Hulk Hogan and others and just say, there's the longest ones, longest reigns in history, and whatnot. So I don't think the CM Punk thing's really an issue. I don't think that's really sort of in the reckoning. I just don't see the title changing.
I hope it will. I get the fears because we were adamant that Shin was going to get the WWE title, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was going to change, even if it was just him as champion for a couple of months and then it went back again.
Yeah,
we did feel that it had to happen, but they didn't pull the trigger, and now they've given Shin a different title, and Shin's doing well with that title. But yeah, I think they just like AJ on top.
I think they need Samoa Joe needs a title.
He's
the best thing. He's the best thing on SmackDown. AJ Styles is obviously an elite worker, but Samoa Joe is. He's just running this feud from a selling point of view. He's obviously attacked him a couple of times and he's made it personal with the family stuff. But he's running this feud so well.
It's not quite I'm your pappy, Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. It's not quite that far down the line in terms of family stuff. But it's for me, AJ Styles is the best in the world. I honestly firmly believe he is the best in the world, and the guy is incredible. But I think you're right in that Samoa Joe is the one really doing the selling here on the microphone with this feud, with the attacks and everything. Giving him the title, it does help solidify Joe. But I think also it gives something new to AJ for him to chase the title. A bit of that fire in the belly that he's coming after something rather than he's just defending and fending off a challenger. I think the dynamic of it, I think it would suit the two of them better.
Well, you think about it, the last heel champion we had was Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
We need to see what a proper heel champion is. I mean, you can't even call Brock a heel. He's liked by some people and he's hated by some people, and I think people are just bored of him now. But Brock pretty much just switches it on whatever it needs be. We've not had a proper heel champion. I'm not even going to call Jinder Mahal a proper heel. He's just hated because people didn't think he was good. But I'm not even sure who the last good heel champion was. Kevin Owens on was he Universal?
Your proper heel, as in the way they're presented, week in, week out,
Like even Bray Wyatt was a bit of a,
a tweener.
Yeah, he was in between. He was liked and hated by people.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe's obviously liked because he's mint as a heel, but he's hated for a reason. So he's good at what he does, and we've not had that for so long. I think it's been screaming out for it. I think both shows have been. Raw's obviously in desperate need for a weekly champion.
A champion.
But SmackDown, I think it needs freshen up. Maybe Shin, because obviously Japanese and it's not as clear, maybe they're put off by that. But Samoa Joe's perfect. He's obviously not what Vince looks for in a wrestler. He's a bit chubby and stuff like that. But Samoa Joe, character-wise, is the best in the company. You said AJ Styles is the best in the world. To my limited knowledge of wrestling, I don't watch Japan and stuff like that. I'd agree. It's between him and Seth Rollins. From my WWE and Ciampa and Gargano is probably in there as well. But Samoa Joe's probably the best character for me. WWE, he's the best character, by far.
Either way, I think this will be a hell of a match.
Yeah.
And I just hope they give it the time and let these guys do what they can do to make it pretty damn special. And as for where the title goes, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But overall, as we said, look, the three matches on the pre-show, 10 matches on the main card. That's an awful lot of content. It's going to probably be on for like 4.5 hours. It's an awful lot to sit through. So, what are you expecting it to be? Sort of really good in parts, terrible in others, or just
same as every other Takeover weekend? I'm going to watch Takeover easily on the night without even thinking about going to sleep. I'm going to get to SummerSlam, probably watch the first match where it's really good, and then there's going to be a couple crap ones, and I'm going to be snoozing. And then I'll watch it on the morning, and it'll be all right. I think it's so hard because, as you said, the cards are too big. There's going to be really good points, and there's going to be shit points. It's the same for every big pay-per-view now. You can't say it's going to be a good show because there's always down points now. It's disappointing to do that, but let's just hope the highs outweigh the lows, shall we? And I think this one has potential to do so. I mean, Dolph v. Seth probably going to be my pick for the match of the night, but I think AJ v. Samoa Joe's going to be up there.
Yeah, you've got, and let's say Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. We've got in there. We've got three matches that
even
you would expect
Jeff could be good.
Yeah, I don't think that'll go long enough. I do think we're not going to get much in the way of an actual match from that. So I think, you know, what we'll come away with is probably three memorable matches, a few other memorable moments, and some pretty forgettable moments as well. So it's a shame. As for an old school fan like myself, it's a shame that SummerSlam, you know, was one of the big ones. It just kind of feels like a elongated version of just another pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the one. I mean, it's what we said about WrestleMania as well, wasn't it? It's just too much.
Elongated slam. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too catchy. Yeah, not so great at selling the tickets. Well, there you go, folks. Anyway, look. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. Like we say, you know, Takeover should be incredible. SummerSlam, hopefully, will have some really memorable bits to it. And who knows, the end of the show could be something pretty special, you know, with something significant happening with the Universal Championship. But whatever does happen, you can be rest assured that we will be back next week to talk about it all. We will cover all of it. And Guy, I believe the analyst himself, the Mochacho, will be with us next week to review it for episode 100 of the Pro Wrestling Index.
I hope so. He's got no excuses now. He's not on holiday.
Yeah, he's told us he hopes to be available for us next week anyway, and we can get together. Episode 100, big thing, and hopefully we'll have some significant title changes and amazing matches to look back on and discuss. But anyway, until then, until next week, from myself, Andy Wales, and from Guy Drinkle here at the Pro Wrestling Index on the Anfield Index podcast channel, until next week, it's bye-bye now, and thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.